Good morning, and thank you for the introduction. My name is Nina Jovanovic. I am a second year resident at Ophthalmology Department of Canton Hospital Zenica from Bosnia and Herzegovina. I will present you my study, Understanding and Preventing Occupational Eye Injuries in Bosnia and Herzegovina, socio-epidemiological study. The study I will present you is a small, mostly descriptive study that I did in my hospital, but will be followed up by a bigger retrospective and parallel prospective study, a 6-year study of all eye trauma in my country. As you probably know, the war ended 17 years ago in my country, and we would expect by now that the country will be established in socio-epidemiological, political, and demographic sense. But unfortunately, that's not the case. We are still divided, and we are still coping with lots of socio-epidemiological problems and economical problems as well that are interfering in every aspect of our life, including the health sectors, which is really undeveloped comparing to other European countries. I have to say that field of eye trauma is one of the most neglected fields in health sector in my countries, but I was fortunate enough to be linked with the University of Public Health and Center for Environmental Occupational Health, who are doing this 5-year studies and projects with me, so hopefully in 4 and 5 years we'll have really good results in this field. So no closure to the... As I said, eye injury is the leading cause of monocular blindness in Bosnia and Herzegovina and one of the major health problems in my country. But by now, there were no serious research made in this field of eye trauma and injury, except those ones who were made during the war in Bosnia and Herzegovina. This is the map of my country. You can see the it is still divided into two pieces. The blue one present entity of Republic of Srpska, and this yellow, green, and pink part presents Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is also divided in 10 counties. Number 4, the yellow one, represents my county. It's called Zenica Doboj County, and the hospital where this research was made is in the center of my county, in the 4th county. The canton has an area of around 4,000 square kilometers with a population of around 400,000 residents. Average base salary is $570 for 2011 and $600 for 2012. Rate of unemployment is 26.2. And we have more than 90% of health sectors owned by state or government. Health insurance is through Health and Social Insurance Fund. That means that the fund is financing through extraction of 12.5% from each paycheck of each citizen, and they are equally distributed and spent on each citizen with health insurance. Persons who are unemployed have equal right for health insurance through Social Security Fund, who is paying health insurance for them, but they have to be registered to the Bureau of Employment. These are the pictures of my hospital. So the Canton Hospital Zenica represents vital and referral center of the canton. Average use of all hospital capacity is 72%, with average length of hospital 6 days, 7.8 days. Last year, we treated around 30,000 patients and had around 2.2 million hospital care services. So in the period of 5 years, 2006 to 2010, we had around 5,000 hospitalized patients, so the patients admitted to ophthalmology department in Zenica. Among those admitted patients, 200 patients were with severe eye injuries, and 47 were work-related eye injuries. In average, every eye injury is treated from 4 to 15 days if they are admitted in the hospitals. That means 3 to 11 working days, sick days, in which every patient who is having sick days is receiving 80% of full salary, which presents a huge huge economical burden for the country itself. So the goal of my study is to reduce the burden of work-related eye injuries in Zenica-Doboj canton, which is a bit hard, but it's a goal that we are trying to reach in these 5 years. More reachable objectives are to present socio-epidemiological profile of work-related eye injuries, to compare work eye injury data to other eye injuries, to appeal for more strict occupational regulations of protective eyewear and work safety inspections, to enforce use of protective eyewear at work, to implement Birmingham eye trauma terminology in our hospital and consequently in other clinic hospitals and health centers, and to enter World Eye Injury Register online with our own unique national trauma register. We conduct a 5 year retrospective descriptive socio-epidemiological study among all severe eye injured patients hospitals at the ophthalmology department, and we use medical records and surgical room protocols for collecting data. I have to say, we have just started with our hospital informational system with the computers, but during the last 5 years, all medical data were typing with the typing machine, so I have to go through all this medical data. That was really hard to do. So these are results. So during the period of 5 years, we had 200 hospitalized patients due to serious eye injuries. 23.5% were due to work-related eye injuries, and male comprised 94% of all cases as compared to 77% for non-work-related eye injuries. Workers less than 45 years of age have an eye injury rate almost 3 times higher than older workers, and over 57% of all work-related cases reported not using any eye protection at work, and 23.4% did not have any records about eye protection. Table and chart 1 are presenting type of injuries, and we can see that they are almost equally distributed among open, closed globe injuries and causoma. This is the chart of age of injured patients, and we can see that majority of the patients belong to the group from 18 to 45 years old. That's 74.4% of patients, and 46 and more is just 25% of the patients. Injury frequency, that means if the patient is injured for the first time or second or third or fourth time. So 34 patients said they are injured for the first time, 9 of them said they are, it's like their second or third time injury is done, and we didn't have in 4 cases any data. Time from injury to admission to hospital, that's very interesting slide, because 32 patients told us that it's only 1 day spent since they are injured to the admission to the hospitals. 7 patients reported that they needed 2 days, 3 patients reported they needed 3 days, and 5 reported that they needed more than 3 days to come to the hospital. That's one of the major public health problems in my country, because we have very bad transportation, lack of transportation considering eye injuries. Because only patients who are experienced like life-threatening situation, they can be transferred with the ambulance to the hospital. Any other patients, especially with eye injury, they have to come to the hospital by themselves. And most of these patients are from rural areas, so they cannot find any transportation within first day. So they have to wait for their neighbor or friends to come to pick them up. So waiting for the transportation, many of them are facing with endophthalmitis when they already are admitted in my hospital, and they either have to have like primary enucleations, or their left with a very pure visual acuity. Days in week when injury most often happened, so we can see that Tuesday was most affected, followed by Thursday and Friday, and then Monday. Part of the day when injuries most often happened was in the morning, from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m., followed by early afternoon from 12 to 4 p.m., and then with the late afternoon 4 to 10 p.m. Most vulnerable professions in my canton were drivers, followed by bricklayers, coal miner working in industrial sections, wall painter working in iron foundry and in sawmill, car electricians and other. Type or cause of injuries, in most cases they were facing with flying particles of metal, followed by coal particles, metal wire, armature particles, spring in the wood, cement, whitewash, UV light from welding torch, accumulator explosion, tension roller, flying particles of wood. And another, we were coming back to the eye protection. In 19% of cases, patients wore eye protection, but in 57%, they didn't wear any eye protection. And more very bad thing is that in 23% of all cases, we didn't have any medical any data in medical records concerning this. So that means that many of our health professionals are not paying enough attention on this problem. So we know that we have a law that regulates usage of eye protection. So the question is, how come that we have such a high percentage of not wearing eye protection at work? If we have low, if we have work inspections and everything. So in order to have answers on these questions, I had to call each patient on the telephone and ask them what actually happened, why they didn't wear any eye protections. So majority of them reported that they were using old and overused protective eyewear. That was either inadequate with gaps between faces and glasses, or even damaged with broken glass. So they chose not to wear it. And majority of them was wearing corrective eyeglasses instead protective eyewear with polycarbonate materials. These two things are very big socio-economical problems in my country. So in few of the patients, I could see that they were older than 60 or 65 years old, but according to our laws, those patients should be in retirement. So how come they are having work-related eye injuries if they are in retirement? Bosnia and Herzegovina and our canton is a really good place for black market. So these small private firms and factories are employing people who are older than 65, and they are not paying any government taxes for them. They are not reporting them as really workers. So they are not buying any eye protection for them too. So they are not wearing any of them. And also these small companies are bigger pool for work eye injuries than big modern well-equipped companies, manufacturers and industrial magnets like we have in my my home city Zenica. We have one of the biggest world industrial magnets called ArcelorMittal, and in their report they decreased lost time injury frequency rate from 1.87 in 2009 to 1.77 in 2010, and they have a mission for decreasing for 20% in the next few years. So we don't have many problems with these big industrial companies, but the problem is with the smaller companies. And workers do not inform authorities about their injury because they are either afraid of being fired or having to pay their penalty if the negligence of safety instructions are reasons of injury. Inspection is not efficient enough. And we do have safety at work law, but it just regulates the usage of protective eyewear, saying that it should be wear, but it's not said which kind of protective eyewear should be wear in a different type of work. So the choice is left of the employee to regulate this. So one of the main problems is transportation, I already said that. And many injuries from disadvantages come to examination after a few days, and the eye already lost or vision acuity is very low. But we have one good thing, and that is that we are the first one implementing hospital informational system in the country, and which puts us in prime position to be pioneers in developing eye trauma register. So that is our condition to have successful surveillance and preventing program and to become part of World Eye Injury Online. But necessary changes and condition in order to have this trauma register are to have first unique national eye trauma terminology, which is Birmingham eye trauma terminology, then to have initial and 6 months follow-up registers, questionnaires for the patients, to have good statistics, to educate medical staff, to have a software, and to have good practice experience, and then we can join via online. These are the protective eyewear that are written in the law of Serbia and Croatia and our neighborhood countries, but in Bosnia and Herzegovina we only use safety glasses with or without eye protection and welding helmets when they are working UV lights. We don't use goggles or face shields and full face respirator at all. So this is from Bosnia, thank you.
All right, well thank you very much. We're done 10 minutes early, so I suppose this means you can ask questions if you want. Yes?
This is kind of a naive question. When we talk about societal burden of visual impairment, I'm sorry if this is really obvious, but what about the income and industry that's generated based on healthcare providers or whatever? So they're actually like, their livelihood is.
Well, we're just basically looking at measuring the costs, so we're not measuring sort of. I guess that's kind of a step beyond what we're doing.
Well, I mean, you can. The reason that things like that are not taken into consideration is if we had full employment in the economy, which held 10 years ago, but doesn't describe our economy now, and this is one of the reasons that there's been some arguments about what to do about this issue between American and European health economists over time, because Europe hasn't had full employment for even longer than we have. But the assumption is there'd be something else for the person to do. And so it's not that you are creating a job for them, it's that we want to account for how much of the resources that society is using are being taken up by people who need extra resources because they are blind or visually impaired, and then to simply ask, are there ways that we could reduce the resources we need to specifically use that, and not to say that that's a bad thing to use them because maybe that makes them more productive. We're not asking that other side. You know, how productive would they be? We can ask how much less productive they are using the analysis you did with the SIP, but we were not asking, well, how much even less productive would they be if we had no accommodation and no medical care for them? That's a separate question.
And I guess this is a Kevin question as well.
Okay.
Just confused about when you use the NEPS data, certainly optometry is somewhat excluded from that, but yet when it's reported, I don't see that really being.
Yeah, I believe so. I think, you know, as I mentioned, the medical cost paper that exists in this country is by Dr. Ryan, and that was, you know, people cite it as the medical cost of eye disorders, but it is limited to four, you know, chronic eye diseases. It did not really include optometry costs. I mean, some of that will be picked up by Dr. Frick's low vision analysis, but if people in MAPS say, I have perfect vision, then they're not going to get picked up in that analysis. So, yeah, that's in that $51 billion estimate that's thrown around, that probably does not include very much optometry expense. In the back.
John, you and Kevin, how did you account for comorbidities in the visually impaired population? A lot of the vision loss in subpopulations whose medical cost is related to the other disability, not the vision. For example, MS or Alzheimer's or developmental disability. So you're looking at the excess costs in a visually impaired population. A lot of it may be attributable to something other than vision loss.
That's true. That's why we use an econometric approach. And the answer is whether, you know, we controlled for everything in our independent variables, and the answer is no, we don't control for everything. I can't take credit for this approach, but one of my former colleagues sort of developed a new econometric approach where we realized that if we're doing a lot of these, you know, economic burden of disease studies, and realized if you do enough of these, we're going to overestimate total costs by some significant amount. So what we do is basically for every condition in MEPS, we estimate it separately and kind of loop through and use that total to control for our approach. So using the approach we did, we're trying to control for that as best we can. That's probably not a big concern for Dr. Frick's analysis with low vision, but for our analysis where we're looking at ICD-9 codes, that might be more important. So, you know, the only comorbidities we controlled for were diabetes and hypertension. So, you know, it's possible we're over-attributing some costs and we're probably missing others.
And certainly for ours, very similar actually, that we controlled for diabetes and hypertension, we controlled for self-reported health status, and by the time you also control for age, again, it's not a perfect set of confounders, but at least you've filtered it down to, you know, are there reasons to think that there are other systematic differences in comorbidities between those who are blind and those who are not? And I think we took care of the biggest ones, not to say there's nothing left, but I think we took care of the biggest ones.
Part of the great presentations, all of you. The question I have is, when you use the low vision and blindness data, arguably there's a lot less difference between a 2150 and a 2200 versus a 2200 and a light perception or no light perception eye, because when lumping everything from 2200 to total blindness together, I think you don't really capture the loss of visual field and the effect that has on mobility. So were you able to isolate that, you know, because visual acuity, it's not all visual acuity, that's
yeah.
The point.
Well, to speak for my presentation, unfortunately for under age 40, there's no epidemiological data on this. So we're stuck with the, you know, autorefractors from NHANES, which are just acuity. They don't do contrast sensitivity or visual field until over age 40. Another thing is the prevalence in NHANES of blindness, where 2200 higher was so low that there's no way we're going to tease out sort of no light perception. We would not be able to get a statistically significant prevalence value for that. I showed the sensitivity analysis, we already have a huge amount of uncertainty due to, you know, the uncertainty in our prevalence, and
okay.
That's as much detail as we could get.
So was there a conscious decision not to use moderate, severe,
well, for impairment, we use mild and moderate, and that's pretty easy to distinguish, and then for blindness, it was 2200 and older, and, you know, we didn't actually see, you know, most people that, you know, walk into the NHANES examination say, I'm blind. Well, we just included them with blind, but we don't know what their acuity is. So.
Well, did you find that there was an issue with the commonly misleading phrase used by refractive surgeons, you're blind without your glasses, you're legally blind without your glasses, which anybody's in the field is obviously
preposterous.
But did you find that that was made your data look worse?
Well, probably. I mean, the problem is there's just very limited data for people under 40. I mean, that NHANES is pretty much it. And there's no way we could really get down any more detail than what we did. So we're already kind of at our limit. You know, the first couple of times we did this, we weren't finding significant impacts, and we added another year, and we did. So, you know, and NHANES, you can't use every year for this data as well. At least some years had the data. So for the ages 40 and older, there is better epidemiological data. There are several studies, and then the National Eye Institute, got the PIs of all these studies together and sort of normalized them, did a very formal meta-analysis, and that, you know, that, I think that was also published in 2004, so that's, mm-hmm. it's been a while, but yeah, that's pretty good data, and with that you can probably get a little more detail of the more severely blind. But for my study, we really couldn't get any more detail than what we're doing, so we're just lumping them together. Although it's true, there's big variations. Like in our blindness category, some people are, you know, walking around and watching TV, and some people are completely blind. So,
And not that the MEPS data certainly didn't have enough detail to do anything with the questions that you're asking, but I think you need a totally different study than that. I mean, you need almost like a case control study to try to look at those types of questions. But I think it's instructive to look at when people have done, recognizing this is only visual acuity, but when people have looked at quality of life by visual acuity, the most well-known model that's out there suggested it's a very big drop-off when you go from 2020 to just worse than 2060, and then it sort of flattens out after that. It continues to get worse, but it's a lot flatter. Now, whether you believe that or not, it's another issue entirely, but what it suggests is that a lot of the quality of life loss, which may or may not follow the same trajectory as the medical care costs and other costs, but a lot of the quality of life loss is probably once you can't drive yourself, because that's such an important factor in people's mobility and getting around in the United States. But, you know, that's just one supposition as to why we observe that, and again, there's a lot of people who question whether that's a correct model or not, but it is the best, one of the best empirical pieces of data we have out there right now.
It ties right into the Catalonia study, that where, you know, is it the socioeconomic status that drives the vision loss, or is it the vision loss that drives the socioeconomic status?
Sure.
Sorry to use the same word, drives.
Understood.
That was nice, tying it all together. Any other questions?
I just have a quick comment about the study I wish I could come up with a simple solution to your problems, but I can't. I'm assuming that the economy of Herzegovina is similar to the other European countries, so you're having tough times right now. So the systemic issues in terms of ambulances only picking up life-threatening cases, that's not going to change anytime soon, mm-hmm. and unemployment's not going to change anytime soon. Is the government doing anything? Hopefully with this registry, the country will become more aware of the problem, but...
Well, unfortunately, since now the government didn't do anything, it's really not interfering so much in the health sector, so we are kind of our own. But I really hope some results, good epidemiology results, that we'll do in the future 1 or 2 years, and when we present it to the government that we are having a huge problem, then they will involve themselves more, and maybe they can help us with financial support or something. But since now, they're not doing a really good job supporting the health sector.
All right, last call. All right, thank you very much for attending.